This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome on into the second hour of First Take. Charlie, you still waking up over there? I'm riding high off my coffee buzz right now.
I'm not a coffee guy. So I just kind of jump right into it.
Just pound in some water.
Just go right into it, man. Let's get to it.
Yeah, obviously a late night action. We had to deal with some LSU football and the Georgia-Alabama game going later into the evening. I don't know if you stayed up for the California matchup with Oregon and UCLA. There's just no way I could. You're watching football, so it's not that bad.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I did not stay up for that game. I did stay up for both of the LSU, South Alabama, and Georgia-Alabama games. Did you see Brian Kelly's presser last night, by the way?
I have not seen Kelly.
This is a complete side note. We're not obviously talking about
that. You've stayed up later than me.
Yes. So at the end of it, like, you could hear, like, when it's like halfway through, he starts just hearing cheering in the background. People were like freaking out, and he was just like, yeah, they're watching the Georgia-Alabama game, like the
nice
team, yeah, after the game. So
wild ending there, obviously, though. What a comeback from Georgia after Alabama came out and looked they were gonna rout them, but the Bulldogs are able to come back only to be let down so badly.
The Georgia-Bama game started before LSU
yes,
South Alabama,
right,
and it ended after because obviously they were watching it. So it's kind of funny. But, yeah, let's hope that we can make some Georgia fans kind of sad again by taking down the Dirty Birds today.
Exactly. They've been disappointed yesterday, and sorry, some more disappointment coming to the Dirty Birds area today with the Saints invading the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, basically home away from home for the black and gold.
I saw a tweet that was joking about Minnesota fans, right? Like Minnesota sports fans, they had the Twins get eliminated in baseball a couple of days ago, and then they traded Carl Anthony Towns in basketball. He's like one
wild,
of their
right,
their pillar players for basically a decade. And then Minnesota, the college, University of Minnesota, kind of lost to Michigan on a controversial onside kick call from the officiating. So Minnesota sports fans are feeling kind of bad, and Green Bay fans, you know, they're looking at their rival, hoping to push them down further. That's kind of what Saints fans are feeling about, you know, Georgia and Atlanta fans. Keep pushing them down.
Yeah, you mentioned with Green Bay there, that's someone I'm actually curious to find out if Jordan Love ends up playing today.
I think
the plan is that I just saw him on, you know, the Twitter sphere. They had him filmed walking into the stadium for game day.
I think he's supposed to go, but Malik Willis did a pretty good job in his stuff.
Filling in, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking at this matchup, obviously the Saints versus the Dirty Birds, who have gone 1-2 on the season.
Yes, sir.
A lot of talk has been they could easily 3-0. You could always flip that and say, oh, they could easily be 0-3 as well.
They should be 0-3. That's the funny thing. It's like,
the Eagles coughed up that game, obviously, late.
Correct.
We've
got a couple texters. Let's see. Sam had this one earlier as well. Said, guys, I have an uneasy feeling about this one. I'm feeling 24-20, but I'm not sure which way it goes. That's kind of around where you would think, just based off of the games that the Falcons have played so far this year, their defense has been solid, and they've played a lot of teams close. Like, each of their games have been basically one-possession games that have come down to the wire. You know, with the Steelers, they kick all the field goals, and they end up winning that game. and I think it was 18-10 final. But then against, you know, the Eagles, they come from behind in that 40-second drive, like that other texter had mentioned about, you know, don't let Kirk Cousins get after it because he can carve you up. He absolutely can, and he showed that when he played the Eagles in those final 40 seconds after, you know, having some struggles earlier in the game. They win that game. And then against, you know, the Chiefs this past week on Monday Night Football, like, that game was kind of wild because there were a couple different potential pass interference calls that could have gone Atlanta's way, especially one in the end zone where, had it happened, maybe we're talking about a 2-1 Falcons team instead of a 1-2 Falcons team. But it seems like the Chiefs get a nice majority of those calls in their favor. I don't want to be like a conspiracy theorist or anything, but now you're looking. I'm not crying over spilled milk because it's the Falcons too.
Right, exactly.
At the same time, they're 1-2 for a reason. They've had offensive issues at times this year. As I mentioned, the 16.3 points per game ranks 26th in the NFL. The 22% third down conversion rate ranks 29th. So if you're the Saints defense, this can't be the game where this Falcons unit led by a new quarterback in Kirk Cousins starts to feel confident. You got to make sure that they keep it down. Like, if the Saints defense can just do what they've done for the first 3 weeks against Carolina, against Dallas, and against Philadelphia, like, they'll keep you in this game. And it might be like Sam had mentioned here, as he said, he doesn't know which way he's feeling about it, 24-20. It's probably going to be some type of score like that. That's what you would anticipate, right? With both teams missing offensive linemen, you probably feel a little bit more comfortable playing the under potentially here. But as far as, you know, final score, if the Saints can keep that Falcons offense to 20 or below, you give yourself a shot. And I think they can.
You know, always, obviously, something wild always happens in this matchup, too. You heard enough me and Charlie babbling about right now. Let's get into some real football minds. Mike Dettillier, Deuce McAllister, earlier this week on Sports Talk, breaking down what we can expect to see in this Falcons matchup against the Saints and what we need to see the black and gold do.
Your opinion, and just watching from television standpoint and what you've seen with Kirk Cousins, that's Abraham's boy. I mean, because I think he sort of looks at Kirk similar to him, and they sort of rhythm type passers. I thought game one, man, he was awfully stiff, and you could understand that, him coming off the Achilles injury. He looked a little better, a little bit more with some movement against Kansas City in a game they should have won. They really should have beat Kansas City and let that slip away from them. But your thoughts on Kirk, who has had some really, really good games against the Saints when he was in Minnesota.
I am sending the kitchen sink at him. I don't care. I am sending the kitchen sink at him. And really, you know, it's not really from the outside. I know Alante Taylor is, you know, he's got, what, 4 sacks, and he's come off the edge. You know, I'm going to send that as well. But I am showing double A gap. And, Kirk, you're either going to be in shotgun and getting the ball out of your hands. But if you're under center, one, I'm testing your new center that you have here, and two, I'm going to see if you can move, because if the pressure can get there in your face and you can't move out of the way, then I know I have a pretty good chance that ball's got to come out hot. I cannot allow you to sit back there and be able to just dissect my defense and get it to the weapons that you have on the edge, and it looks like they're starting to get it to a lot of those weapons out there on the edge. You know, they've got a lot of pretty toys at the running back position, the tight end, and the receiver position. You know, the question is, can the quarterback get it to them consistent? And I'm sending the sink at him. I am sending the sink at him.
Yeah, because, again, he was never known as a movement guy, but you can tell he's not the same guy anymore. And I understand that coming off the injury. I really, really do in that part. And also, you don't have your starting center or your starting right tackle, most likely, in this game. We've seen a lot more of Ray Robinson in the lineup for Atlanta than maybe we saw a year ago with them and how they use him, and also the addition of Darnell Mooney. He brings him some speed element. We all know Darnell when he played here at Tulane and when he was with the Bears. And then, man, Drake London. I remember last year during the preseason and talking to Jen Hale. Jen does the preseason games for the Falcons. And she was like, that's who they say is the next big thing here in Atlanta. It's Drake London. They're not talking about Pitts like this. They're talking about Drake London. They have two targets, two distinct targets. One, that big, tall, lengthy receiver, and then the speed guy in Darnell Mooney.
No, I agree, and I think, you know, obviously all three of them are a little bit different. Bijan looks like the guy that you thought he would be, and, you know, he's done a really nice job being able to pick up the blitz. But, I mean, it's the ball. When he has the ball in his hands and he can make people miss and doing some different things like that, that's what the Saints have to be aware of. You know, he's basically a guy like Alvin that can do a little bit of everything, and he's going to be a stop and start guy. I mean, and so you've got to be able to, hey, I see him and I'm going to unleash on him. I can't just say, he's going to slow down. No, he's a stop and start guy as far as that everything he wants to do. You know, not necessarily cut back, but he will cut a lot back. And, you know, they use him out of the backfield. They throw it to him out wide. And, you know, they're using him a lot more, but they still will throw Algier in there. And then, it looks like finally your tight end is 100% healthy. You know, I still think they could probably target him a little bit more. And after –
after what you saw
this weekend,
right.
You know, I imagine they're going to say, "Yep, that's a matchup we feel like we can win a lot more." And so the Saints defensively, you got to have your hands full. I mean, but you've done it before. It's just going to be, can you lock in?
Can you lock in? The great Deuce McAllister with Mike Dettillier there talking about this matchup upcoming for a noon start right here on WWL and the Odyssey app, Saints Falcons. And, man, oh, man, you love to hear that from dudes. Bring the kitchen sink at them.
Yeah, like someone on our text line said, just keep blitzing. And, I mean, you run a little bit of a risk of that. Like, at all costs, get them on the ground, first and foremost. Like, you understand that. But, God, the front four, if they could just get pressure without having a blitz.
You're confident that Kirk can't get away from it if you are able to get around
him. No, and just wrap him up and put him on the ground. I'll keep saying that.
And maybe he'll chuck one up there for you.
Right. Well, that's actually a good point as well, Steve, is the turnover margin that Bobby always loves to talk about.
Like key stat,
it is a huge key. The Saints are +4 in turnover margin, which is third in the NFL through the first 3 weeks. +4. Really, really solid. The Falcons, -2. 24th. You want to know what the difference between 2-1 and 1-2 is?
Right.
And why the Falcons lost some close games? Turnover margin. So we'll see what happens there. As to Deuce's point, because Mike also brought that up about Kyle Pitts. Copycat league, we saw what Dallas Goedert just did to the Saints last week.
Right.
Kyle Pitts still hasn't gotten going. And he had that fantastic rookie year. I know he's dealt with some injuries, but at the same time, the quarterback play, you know, when he had Matt Ryan throwing him the ball, the best year of his career. Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke,
Not so much. Right.
If you're looking at so far this year, he has 12 targets through the first three games, 8 receptions, 105 yards, and a touchdown. It just seems like the connection with Kirk Cousins hasn't necessarily established just yet. So this can't be his get-up game as well. This can't be when people start saying, oh, Kyle Pitts finally has a quarterback thrown to him. He can flash his talent. They can, you know, we could see why he was the top tight end taken ever, the number 4th overall pick a couple years back. So that's a huge key that Deuce and Mike brought up as far as making sure that Kyle Pitts stays kind of contained.
And obviously talking about the quarterback with the Falcons, first year for Kirk Cousins in the Dirty Bird uniform. We've obviously been accustomed to seeing him when his years with the Minnesota Vikings and what he's capable of. The Saints have faced him 5 times. Here's what head coach Dennis Allen had to say about the Falcons signal caller, Kirk Cousins.
He's played a long time in this league, and he understands, you know, the looks that you're giving him. And so I think he does a good job of, you know, operating the offense, getting them into good plays, making some checks at the line of scrimmage. I think he, you know, sees the coverage pretty well, can get through his progressions, find the open guy. You know, I think he plays professional quarterback, you know, plays the game from the neck up, which he does exceptionally well.
You mentioned, Charlie, too, one of our texters on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line saying, don't sleep on Kirk, he can hurt you.
Sir.
We know that for sure.
Absolutely. Kirk Cousins in his career versus the Saints, got some numbers for you here, Steve. 5 games in his career versus the Saints, 117.6 passer rating. I mean, just that blows you away from the get-go. 1,569 yards in 5 games, which, you know, maths out to a 313 per game average as far as passing yards go. 13 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, I don't like that.
So that doesn't include the playoff matchup.
Right.
But here's another thing that's interesting about that. This dates back to his career with Washington, by the way. He's 2-3 against the Saints in his regular
season. Right, record isn't there, but the numbers are nice.
The numbers are spicy. Like, that is, you know, once again, I'll read it off again. A 70.6 completion percentage against the Saints, 313.8 yards thrown per game, and then 13 touchdowns to 2 interceptions in his career against the Saints in those 5 regular season games. But still, a 2-3 record.
Dennis Allen even added more on Kirk Cousins and really praised the guy's IQ.
You get these veteran quarterbacks that have played a long time in our league that are, you know, highly intelligent. They're hard to fool. So, you know, that won't be something that'll be easy for us to do.
You know, dealing with an experienced guy back there, obviously not someone that you're going to rattle very easily.
Yeah, like we kind of mentioned, as far as blitzing him, like, yes, you can blitz him. But at the same time, he's seen all the different blitzes that you can throw his way.
You got to get home.
Yeah, exactly. So build on those 11 sacks that you already have this season, which ranks fifth in the NFL. You're feeling good about that start from the defensive line, but this is such a, we cannot emphasize enough, such a gigantic game for the Saints defensive front. If Percy and if, you know, Carl Granderson and Chase Young and Nathan Shepard, Cam Jordan can get after Kirk Cousins and put him on the ground, it is just the biggest key that I can think of for this matchup.
Want to hear from you on Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line, folks. 504-260-1870. Rolling along with First Take coming up at 10 o'clock. Bobby Hebert will be joining us in studio for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff, and that'll bring you up to game time. Turn down that national sound on the television. You got to turn up our local call with Nostradamus, Deuce McAllister, the man that can predict football plays.
They still haven't come up with a nickname for him yet.
I don't know. Yeah, something.
Yeah, I thought of like Nostradamus, but I think that's maybe a little bit of a stretch. But he's the best at predicting those plays. It's so funny because like Coleman will be grabbing the highlights and he'll like have to include Deuce saying, I'm feeling a turnover here. I think the Saints are, they're getting to the ball. Like they're punching at it. They're finally going to get a turn. And then all of a sudden a fumble. It's just like, okay, yeah, you got it.
We got to bring Deuce definitely to the lotto line and get some of the Powerball numbers. Along with him, obviously, the voice of the Saints, Mike Haas. They have your call for you in Atlanta. And our sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, will bring you the latest and greatest from the sidelines there. Hopefully see a big black and gold contingent invading the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll be back after this break on First Take with more. Stay tuned on...
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. Back here on First Take as we get ready for the upcoming Bud Light Countdown to kickoff, just a half hour away from the Cajun Cannon joining us as he gets ready for the Dirty Birds taking on the Saints. And obviously, a pretty big day for the Cajun Cannon with him obviously playing for both franchises.
Yeah, pretty big day as well because for the Falcons folks, this is a 55-55 tie. But for the Saints, yeah, we'll talk, count the regular season, 55-54. And also, as far as some series history goes, some notes on this. The Saints, since 2006, you know what they are against the Falcons in 36 games played? 25-11.
Wow.
I think it's the Dirty Birds. So they have really made that surge in the past basically two decades to get it back to where it is now, where they hold a one-game edge. And let's make it two.
We were talking last segment, Charlie, about what do we call Deuce, his prophetic predictions in these Saints games.
There's so many different ones.
It's been pretty awesome to see what he's been able to do. And obviously, when it comes to light, everybody, it makes it that much more exciting and reason why you should turn down the TVs and turn up a local call on WWL and the Odyssey app, obviously, of Hoss and Deuce. But here's a little clip of what them talking about that Hoss and Deuce on Fans in the Pro on Friday.
Here's the question.
The S&P 500, it is up, though. So.
Would you prefer Nostradamus or Deustradamus? There are nicknames for you floating out there, and I said, I'm going to ask Deuce today. And he won't want to talk about it because he's too humble.
I prefer a W.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to talk about. I prefer a W. It's luck. That's what we'll go with. It's luck.
Yeah, it's pretty good luck right there. Obviously, you know, Deuce has seen plenty of the game and his vantage point of the field and his knowledge of this Saints squad. You can have a good bet on everything that he's seeing is going through that computer upstairs. And obviously, you'd think he'd make a good coach as well. I'm sure he doesn't want any part of that, though, dealing with coaching hours.
Yeah, no, he's got the supercomputer in his brain as far as football goes. And so, you know, kind of like Hoss said, he's being kind of humble about it. But he knows what he's talking about, dude. Like, when he'll see basically a play happening before it happens, and he knows that, like, oh, the Saints can get something done here. And then it happens. It's just fun stuff. It's
that
great
one
radio.
Call with Shahid. He's like, can I get greedy? I love that one.
Yeah. And he sees how, like, the offense lines up. He's just like, there's an opportunity here. And then, like, the very next thing, Clint Kubiak obviously sees the same exact thing. And Derek Hart sees the same exact thing.
They must have been listening to the call and said, oh, you heard Deuce. We got to take advantage here.
We got to make that call. Real quick, Steve, Nick Underhill of New Orleans.football just put this out.
Good
Chris
news.
Olave and Alvin Kamara will both be active today. So we already kind of knew about Kamara. He was really always kind of trending in the right direction. Olave kind of popping up on Friday with that hamstring injury was a little bit of a concern.
Sure.
But Underhill had made a great point about this as well over the weekend, the fact that they only elevated Kyle Hergel from the practice squad kind of means that you were expecting him to potentially play. I know he was a quote-unquote game-time decision. It's 9:30. We're still 2.5 hours away from kickoff, but apparently he is good to go. So
whatever he was going through this morning and everything's A-okay with him.
Two huge pieces for the Saints offense, obviously, that doesn't even need to be said. But as far as, you know, going against the Falcons defense, that has been pretty, pretty solid so far this year.
You mentioned in some offensive pieces, obviously, too, getting Taysom Hill back going to be huge today.
Yeah.
And the fact, though, I do want to see, where has Juwan Johnson, where have you been? Maybe this is the game kind of he, like, reasserts himself into this offense. I know he's working his way back, obviously, from injury since not taking part in much of training camp. But curious to see if maybe he can take advantage of this Falcons defense today as well.
Juwan is a weird story because the offseason foot surgery happened, and we talked to Clancy Brown on the Saints coaches show, and Clancy basically said that they were, and this is a baseball analogy, that they were keeping him on a pitch count early on in the season, that they didn't want him to be playing too many snaps. Now, the impact by the tight ends were felt in the first game, where Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson both had great first games against the Panthers in a blowout win. It has not been felt in the passing attack since.
Right.
It wasn't felt against Dallas, but you didn't really need it against Dallas because you just ran over them. But it wasn't felt against Philly either. And that's been a position that I've kind of lamented over the past few months. It's just like, man, the tight end spot is not great.
2 years ago, you're yelling at them about the draft, I remember.
Well, yeah, because they should have drafted someone there. But, you know, we had a couple callers calling about this. Taysom Hill, to your point about him, in this matchup against the Falcons. Taysom Hill has a career record against the Falcons, 10-4. As we mentioned, kind of that 25-11 stretch since 2006 for the Saints. Taysom Hill, he's had plenty of success against the Falcons in his career with a 10-4.
So you're saying I should be having him from my bench in the lineup somewhere in my fantasy
team? I don't know what his workload is going to be, right? Because as we kind of talked about with the pitch count for Juwan Johnson coming off an injury, maybe the same, like they'll probably be decently careful with Taysom coming off a chest injury, you know, that kept him out of last week's game against Philadelphia, which had he played that game, it could have been a difference maker. Like, for instance, the 4th-and-1. Like, that's a Taysom play, right? You give it to him and let him truck somebody, even if it is, like, going up against that Eagles interior defensive line.
I'm still scratching my head, though, too, just to point out, where's Jamal Williams been? Last game, he just had one carry, and then they just kind of forgot about him totally, which perplexed me.
We had a texter that was, like, going at Mike because Mike said Jamal Williams is, like, taking a step back. And he has, since his days in Detroit.
Well, when you have one carry minus 1 yard in the game, yeah.
Yeah, correct. I mean, yes, he got one attempt, and this texter was just like, oh, well, you know, he led the team in yards per rush against Dallas, which he didn't. It was Kamara by a decent wide margin as well. He's not getting the attempts, right? And I think it's because he has taken a little bit of a step back. I think that Taysom is obviously your running back, too,
right
now. So if he's good to go for this game, which he is, it'll be interesting to see what type of workload he gets. Because as I mentioned, 10-4 against the Falcons in his career, it's no small number. It's a pretty big sample, 14 games, pretty big sample size. So at the same time, it's probably going to be an Alvin Kamara game again for the Saints on the ground, but with some Taysom Hill sprinkled in there.
I was talking about running backs too this week. There were some positive updates with Kendra Miller able to return from injured reserve, and I guess we'll be seeing him get assimilated more into this offense now. For crying out loud, we haven't seen the guy do anything since the first day of training camp.
Yeah, we got a great text here from our guy Sam. Said someone needs to hypnotize Cam and tell him that Matt Ryan is out there wearing a Kirk Cousins jersey. He sure did love playing against Matt Ryan.
Ryan, pretty much a statue too, is not going to be a very mobile guy.
But that's exactly why you got to get after him with the front four. You know, like, if you can still drop 7 in coverage on those obvious passing downs and still get after him, like, that is just huge.
You're talking about Cam Jordan. That's a good segue into some more audio we have. Falcons hate week. Everybody embraces that in Saints Nation, obviously going against the Dirty Birds. Well, at the end of last year, obviously in that blowout against the Falcons, the Saints decided to, well, I won't even say the Saints decided to. It was really Jameis Winston decided to change the play at a victory formation, went for the touchdown. They scored, giving, you know, what we saw, a touchdown for Jamal Williams. I almost said Kendra Miller. Jamal Williams getting that touchdown, his one touchdown of the year for the Saints out of victory formation, and obviously ruffled a lot of feathers on the Falcons side of things. Dennis Allen even apologizing to Arthur Smith in the postgame press conference. It just didn't sit well with a lot of people, and wondering if the Falcons are still a little butthurt over that going into this matchup. Cam Jordan was asked, do you think the Falcons weren't pleased with that TD out of victory formation?
I don't care what they're pleased with. What does it have to do with us? If you want forgiveness, go to your mother. I'm sure she'll say sorry for you. I got nothing for you. Look to Jesus. He forgives everybody.
Do you think they'll come to the game a little bit different than because of how last game went? Like, do you think the Falcons are
going to... I don't care how they feel. This is the NFL. This is a winning business, and we were in position to win.
Exactly. Cam's like, I don't care how the Falcons feel. We're out to beat them this game. Boo-hoo if they got upset about it. I do not like the play, obviously. I think, obviously, that's another reason, too, why if someone like Jameis Winston is no longer around on this team because he's not following what the coach told him to do in that situation. It just didn't feel clean. It was a dirty kind of ending to the game. You could definitely hurt somebody running a play out of victory formation when people aren't expecting, you know, you to be in play mode when it's just taking a knee.
Here's what I'll say. There are so many new faces on both sides, in a sense, but mostly with the Falcons.
Sure, even a new head coach.
They got rid of Arthur Smith.
Right.
This is Raheem Morris's team. He doesn't care. Maybe some players still have some, like, kind of hurt feelings about it, but I don't even think that's the case. I don't think there's going to be any kind of, you know, blowover.
Rushback, right.
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, Jameis isn't here anymore, but, like, it's a new coaching staff in Atlanta, a new quarterback in Atlanta. they're focusing on trying to, you know, they entered the year as NFC South favorites. They're trying to live up to that expectation. I don't think they're really focused on a blowout loss from last year where they had different people in charge on the coaching staff and different kind of quarterback lead in the offense.
If they need that to motivate them, so be it. But, I don't think that's going to be a tipping point in this matchup.
That's kind of what – if they're using that to motivate them, then I think the Saints have an edge, in all honesty. Like, what are you doing? It's a new year.
Getting ready for Saints versus Falcons, a noon start in the ATL Mercedes-Benz Stadium out there. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister coming up with the call. At 10 a.m., we're going to have the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff, where you'll get the latest and greatest from the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, as we get ready. Saints-Falcons Week 4 action kicking off on WWL and the Odyssey app. We'll be back with more First Take after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Frying up those Falcons, getting ready for a noon kickoff here on WWL, Saints and Atlanta. First matchup between the two teams this year. Obviously, the Saints already 1-0 in the NFC South, taking down the Panthers to start the season. So, big divisional matchup. They always are. Count for two. We say that constantly. And then, obviously, after this game, you got a big one against the Kansas City Chiefs Monday night in Kansas City, then coming back to the Dome for the Bucks. So, a big three-game stretch here. Early on in the year for this team, and you got to stay afloat in this division. I don't want to see you taking a step back, because playing catch-up has been a problem for the last couple years for this team, and at least setting the tone like they were able to do at least the first two games would be nice for this team.
Right. I mean, getting off to that 3-1 start is just huge. I mean, 2-0 in the NFC South as well. You kind of solidify yourself as the early season, like, I don't want to say –
the favorite.
Yes. I don't want to say the favorite because it is still 4 weeks in.
But like you said, setting the tone, establishing some dominance.
Correct. And you have all these games against the NFC South within the first 10 weeks, right? So if you can kind of pull away early, then you give yourself some breathing room in the back half. And we don't have to be worrying about other teams having to win for the Saints to get back into the playoff picture. Couple things real quick, Steve, about Atlanta's offense I wanted to hit on. Because as I mentioned earlier, when we were interviewing D. Orlando Ledbetter, I think it was on Thursday, he had said that the defense was further along than the Falcons' offense under new signal caller, you know, Kirk Cousins. And Mike really emphasized stopping the run for this Falcons team. And I think that's an interesting point, because so far this year, as far as their rushing offense goes, when you think about the Falcons, you think about their strong offensive line, you think about their, you know, fancy weapons, and it doesn't get much fancier at the running back position than someone like Bijan Robinson. He's a stud, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, the Falcons' rushing offense so far, it's middle of the pack, Steve. I mean, they average 107.7 yards per game, which is 18th in the NFL. Meanwhile, the Saints, despite, you know, getting kind of run over a little bit by Saquon Barkley this past week, they're 8th in rushing defense so far this year. So with Bijan, this year he's got 48 total carries in 3 games. It's a pretty good average, and you imagine the type of workload that he's going to be getting every single week. 196 yards, which averages out to 4.1 yards per carry. Now, those numbers went down pretty significantly when they played the Chiefs this past week. He did not have a good game on Monday Night Football. The Chiefs kept him bottled up. And I think that's part of the reason why you saw the Falcons only score 17 points in that game. Against the Chiefs, you know, you saw 13 carries or 16 carries, 31 yards, and one touchdown of 1.9 yards per carry. So, and that was with a banged-up offensive line. If the Saints can do what the Chiefs did and take advantage of a Falcons offensive line missing two pieces and make sure that Bijan isn't getting after him, like, that's going to be a big key as well.
With DeMario Davis out, obviously we're expecting a guy like Willie Gay to have a more prominent presence in that linebacking group. He talked about Falcons running back Bijan Robinson.
He's a talented back. I mean, yeah. We played one last week. You know, he can make you miss. So you got to make sure your P's and Q's for sure. Just doing your assignment, doing your 111, and like I say, do the ordinary things extraordinarily well, and you'll be all right.
Doing those ordinary things extraordinarily well.
Yeah, and he's a good dual threat back as well. Like, Willie talked a little bit about the shiftiness there, right? But he also can pass catch and make plays in the passing attack.
He's their Alvin.
Yeah, effectively. I don't think he's as good of a pass catcher as Alvin has been in his career. He's a great runner. Like, there's a reason that they picked him in the top 10. 11 catches so far for 89 yards this year. Bijan's going to be a big key. But one thing that also stood out to me about this passing attack, Steve, you know, do you know who's leading them in passing and receiving yards?
Good old Tulane boy.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney. I mean, there was all this hype about Drake London in his first year with Kirk Cousins throwing him the ball. The first time that London's ever had a quarterback. And we've talked ad nauseum about this because we've mentioned it so much with Chris Olave. But the third-year jump for receivers seems to be a thing. And this year, Jameson Williams has taken a big step already for Detroit. Like, that's one of them. But that receiver class is also, you know, Drake London and Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, all these guys that we were expecting to take a big step. London hasn't necessarily done it just yet. And London, when he was coming out in the draft, the Mike Evans comps were all over the place.
For sure.
And just a big body receiver, a big guy that can go up and make contested catches and win at the catch point, right? With Drake London so far, it's been solid. He hasn't really established that connection just yet with Kirk. Maybe at some point this season, he'll be their bona fide wide receiver one. I think that's what they're expecting him. I think they expect Darnell Mooney to be, you know, the speedy wide receiver two, as Mike kind of talked about, right?
Right.
But so far, I mean, Darnell Mooney, 169 yards on 18 targets, 12 receptions. Drake London has one more target at 19, 14 receptions, and 136 yards. So he hasn't necessarily defined himself yet as that bona fide wide receiver one for Atlanta that they were hoping that he would be when they took him in the top 10. So same thing as a couple other things we said as far as this offense goes for Atlanta. The Saints defense, you know, you can't let a unit that hasn't gained much confidence yet gain any type of confidence in this game. You got to keep them down.
Yeah, at least with the wide receiver core for the Falcons, you feel pretty confident, obviously, with this Saints secondary, which everybody is just marvels at the depth you have here.
Yeah, right. And you feel like you have the advantage there against this Atlanta passing attack, even with, you know, your struggles against tight ends at points throughout, you know, the past couple of years. You feel like you have the advantage in the back end of your secondary versus the Falcons pass catchers.
At least I'll say I think Kyle Pitts is looked more at as a wide receiver instead of your traditional tight end. He's still a big dude, though.
He's a freak. Like, he's an athletic freak in nature. And so, yes, he kind of – you don't want him to be getting after you like Dallas Goedert did, right? And so, yes, you can look at him as a bigger receiver. He basically is. He runs like a gazelle, but he's, you know, built like a mech truck. So it's weird to see someone like that have kind of a slow start to his career, or slow start to the season at least. He had a great start to his career. His rookie season with Matt Ryan was fantastic. And that's why people thought were buying stock in him in fantasy and stuff like that, was because he finally had a quarterback thrown into him again. Because he went two seasons with Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. Whereas, you know, now it's a huge step up with Kirk Cousins. And that's why the Falcons were expected to be the NFC South champions preseason. But they haven't gained that confidence yet offensively. They haven't gotten into a rhythm. And there's reasons for that. As we mentioned, the turnover margin for them isn't great. The third down conversion percentage isn't great. Like, their passing attack is okay. Their rushing attack really hasn't gotten going yet either. So it's a unit that's putting the pieces together still. So it's a good time to be playing a team like this because you know what the Saints defense can do. They just got to show up and make sure, once again, that the Falcons offense doesn't gain any type of early season confidence.
Yeah, you kind of look at this and wonder, are we headed for, you mentioned the under earlier on in this matchup, obviously with both offensive lines banged up, really not sure what you're going to get from the offenses, but could we end up, you know, a texter mentioned Blake Groupe, could we end up in a kicker type game here? And obviously the Falcons have a pretty good one in Young Hoku.
He's fantastic. So one of our texters had said, like, they'll win on a Blake Groupe game winner. Maybe we'll get to that, but you don't want to get to that point. Make sure that Koo cannot be the one to beat you. That's what I would say.
We're going to take a break, coming back with more First Take after this, so stay tuned right here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take. I want to tell everybody, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations, $5,850. Let us push that way over $6,000 after today's game.
We got a text here, Steve, right before we head to the top of the hour and the countdown to kickoff. This is from 7662. Don't sweat it, y'all. We're going to whack the Falcons. I'm with you. Let's get it. I mean, the Falcons are favorite in this game. They're betting favorites for a reason at home. You know, give me the Saints in this one, man. Give me like 27 to 20.
I like how it says, too, it's going to be one of those Maylocks-type games, but we'll have this one in the end, a close one, so let it be written, let it be done. I agree.
Cook the Dirty Birds.
Definitely figure Blake Groupe could be a massive factor in this one when we look at the special teams and it being a tight one. Game winner to take it as we leave Atlanta. Saints improving, hopefully, to 3-1 on the season. Coming up next, Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Make sure you stay tuned right here on WWL.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here.
If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.